Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is a result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com. The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3. I want to feel it so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, doctor, doctor, Mr. MD, doctor, now can you tell me what's ailing me, doctor? You said,
and welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Here in Herb Talk, it's all about empowerment. Magical engineer Frank's ready. I'm ready. Oh, we're in a tornado watch here, so I hope you don't have anything that ruins the show like that. So be a prayin', and thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network, WWCR, and other networks. First part of the show, we're going to be talking about sleep cycle in men and women. Is there a difference? There is a difference. We're going to find out what that is. And we have a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees, seeking Lord's face, mind the time, because it grows short. And in Romans 14, it says, "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." Amen to that. And mind the time, it grows short. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, now's the time, because he is the way to God the Father. You don't want to miss that. Get to getting, as they say. And without further ado, Let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up on the quacker, drug shortages again in the news at an all-time high. 323 medicines in very short supply. They've risen to the highest level of scarcity since the American Society of Health System Pharmacists began tracking it in 2001. So this is a emergency pretty much, but, you know, they're trying to get Congress in gear and other health authorities in gear. But they've known about this for over a decade. I've reported on this. So the big picture behind the shortages, they say low prices on generic drugs have manufacturers competing on price. Well, plus you got smaller offshore, outside the United States companies making the generics, and they may have supply issues and so forth and so on. All right, moving along in the quack report, obsolete, and that's what they think man may be. This is from a leading economist who says almost all forms of human labor are going to be taken over by artificial intelligence. So, well, troubling, obviously, already replacing humans in some things like coding, designing, customer service, writing, although I don't think the writing's all that great. Also, some AI experts think it could be just a few years, but once the takeover comes, this is going to be an evolution in a dizzying pace. So according to experts, this offers the prospect of not replacing some forms of human labor, but almost all forms of human labor. And when humans don't have a job, no, and they're not productive, if the slaves don't work, what then? Well, residents of this state, last but not least, pay $987,117 in a lifetime of taxes. That's right. So I guess if you're not working, you can't pay your taxes. So with tax day around the corner, the average American pays $524,625 tax dollars during their lifetime. But the report was stating some of the states that charge people more. So New Jersey was the winner, $987,117 lifelong taxes in that state. Also, Washington, D.C. came in second as $884,820. Connecticut, Massachusetts tied for third and fourth. Well, they were third and fourth. $855,307,000 to $816,700,000. Lowest state with the amount of taxes is West Virginia. $358,407 is what the average American slave will pay in taxes. What'd you say, Frank? They die like retirees do shortly after retirement is what happens with unemployed slaves. Okay. Thank you for bringing that into focus, Frank. That wraps the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, let's dive into our sleep cycle topic between men and women. What are the differences? Because scientific medicine has known little about the human sleep cycle. Because over the last few decades, research has discovered that the thyroid is involved in your sleep cycle. And patients that have radiation treatments or have a thyroid that's removed, well, they find that they have become a metabolic mess as doctors try to stabilize functions with hormonal drugs. So it was research at Rutgers University in 2007 that found out our thyroid does much more than help just regulate body temperature and our weight. Now, additionally, in April 2024, recent research out of the University of Southampton in the UK is revealing that men and women have differences in how they sleep. The metabolism of men and women is different, and it affects the sleep cycles. And the research did get published in the April 2024 Sleep Medicine Review Journal. According to the review journal, they say, this research highlights the critical role that our sex plays in understanding these factors, and that biological sex needs to be considered when treating sleep, circadian rhythm, and metabolic disorders. Well, if metabolic functions are different in men and women, and this can influence treatments, well, then physicians are going to need to know what the true sex of their patient is. Yeah, this can become complicated with gender reassigned patients or patients who identify as gender neutral. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the thyroid and your sleep, because Rutgers University's research discovered that the thyroid manufactures these hormones, which affect the brain and your nervous system. So the thyroid hormones act as receptors on brain cells and act as neurotransmitters. So this affects cellular activity and regeneration. So such research has led us to understand that during the sleep, the thyroid hormones will help regulate the circadian sleep cycle and help the brain to regulate breathing during sleep. Therefore, science is looking more at the thyroid when it comes to insomnia, depression, anxiety, and sleep apnea. Well, let's take a look at this UK study a little bit here. The University of Southampton, they asked men and women to describe the quality of their sleep, and their research also reported the following. Women report lower sleep quality compared to men. And women report fluctuations in sleep quality that is influenced by their menstrual cycle. Poor sleep quality correlates with anxiety and depression, and women experience more depression and anxiety compared to men. Also, women are more likely to be diagnosed with insomnia than men are, and there may be a correlation between poor sleep and restless leg syndrome, with about 20 to 50% higher risk for the women. Poor sleep, they said, can correlate with sleep-related eating disorders where people eat repeatedly during the night. They also said poor sleep increases the risk of sleep apnea, in which men have 3 times higher risk than women. Sleep apnea, they say, manifests differently in women than men, because sleep apnea in women is associated with heart failure, but not in men. Women also sleep on average 8 minutes longer than men in their non-rapid eye movement or REM sleep, where the brain activity slows down. And as men age, the non-rapid eye movement sleep declines more substantially than in women. And women enter the rapid eye movement sleep mode more rapidly or earlier than men do. So this research at the University of Southampton, well, the researchers teamed up with the researchers at Stanford and Harvard University in the United States, and they concluded that men and women have different circadian rhythms. And here's what they reported. The timing of the circadian rhythms and the sleep is influenced by melatonin that is released earlier in women than in men. Body core temperature is highest before sleep and lowest before waking, and this follows the circadian pattern, reaching their peaks earlier in women than in men. So the circadian cycles in women are shorter by 6 minutes compared to the men. And in the U.S. and in Europe, 30% of people ages 30 to 64 sleep less than 6 hours per night. So regarding sleep deprivation, women and men react differently to pictures of food. Didn't know that. You know, Frank, if you didn't get some sleep, you would look at food differently than a female. So decision-making also and emotions are impacted with a lack of sleep, and twice the impact in women compared to men. So men also were found to overeat more than women regarding sleep loss. And night shift workers were found to be at a higher risk of being overweight and diabetic, with men having the higher risk of diabetes and women the higher risk of being overweight. Here's a quote from, this is from one of the researchers at Stanford University, Dr. Rensky Locke, says, while these differences may seem small, well, they are significant, she says. The misalignment between the central body clock and the sleep-wake cycle is about 5 times larger in women than in men. So she says, imagine someone's watch constantly running 6 minutes faster or slower, and over the course of time will cause a noticeable misalignment in the sleep cycle with external cues like light and darkness. You know, usually you tend to get sleepy when it gets dark. She goes on to say, sleep disruptions affect our health and well-being in many ways. Sleep disorders impair cognitive function and mood disorders, and minor differences in the circadian cycle over time can become major health concerns. Also, a cohort of hers, Sarah Chilpada, at the University of Southampton, she says, most of the sleep and circadian interventions are a newly emerging field with limited research on sex differences. So whatever they're going to be prescribing, they need to make sure it's not one drug fits all. Well, you know, over the years, I've learned a few things about some herbs that can help. So I have learned a few things working with herbs with regard to thyroid and helping improve sleep. So our thyroid gland has to have organic iodine, not synthetic iodine, in order to manufacture these hormones that are necessary for sleep and several other metabolic functions. So now if the thyroid gland is overworked or exhausted because it's trying to function without enough sufficient iodine, it will need soothing as well. Also, depression and weight gain are also frustrating complications when the thyroid is kind of out of balance. So if you have the right herbs and you use them in the right combination, you can actually regenerate this thyroid. Now, difficulties can come into play if you have had surgery or radiation treatments to the thyroid. And when the thyroid has the nutrition it needs, it can actually manufacture the hormones that are necessary for sleep and the proper breathing during sleep. So here are some herbal tools that I like to use for the thyroid. Black walnut is going to offer you the highest natural concentration of iodine. It's more than ocean water or seaweed. And we're not talking about the nut itself. There's this substance between the nut and the outer hull that is just full of natural iodine. I also like to combine the black walnut with some mullein. It helps to soothe the thyroid gland. So if it's stressed, it helps take tension off the gland. Siberian ginseng, I'll add that for energy on a cellular level to perk up the thyroid. Now, in case the heart has been weakened, let's say somebody has sleep apnea, they need a little strengthening of the cardio system, then I may add some of the heart herbs. Apothecary Herbs has these formulas, also the heart cholesterol blood pressure formula, which is a great overall cardio strengthener. Hawthorn berries may be added as well. It helps lower the risk of stroke. Also, circulation formula is a good balancing of blood pressure if you need that. Motherwort is great for heart flutters or AFibs. And they also have a nice heart attack pack, so have that on hand in case you're in a remote area. Other formulas that may help as people try to transition into better sleep, helping their thyroid and their body out. Valerian root, an emotional stress formula. The folks at Apothecary Herbs have that. It's great for depression and anxiety. They have a nice body food mix, which gives the body more energy because it has a lot of nutrition, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and things. And it also can help with weight gain. Diabetic formulas are available there, as well as a product called Brain Concentrate, which can help with cognitive function. And their relax formula, which relaxes muscles and can help you drift nicely into sleep if you struggle getting to sleep. So there are a lot of tools that you can use that are all natural, certified organic, till standard organic, professional strength. So that's what the folks at Apothecary Herbs manufacturers professional strength formula. So you will not find them in stores, but you can buy them direct from Apothecary Herbs. You can visit their website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, or you can give them a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. Ask for a free catalog. They have a free catalog they can send you. You can order that on their website or over the phone. Or you can even send them an email off the website. This is all going to be, you know, plant nutrition that works well with men or women, okay? So the body accepts balanced chemistry that our Creator made in the plants He gave us. And by the way, we are starting to celebrate garlic here at Apothecary Herbs. So we're going to be starting tomorrow a 20% off sale on orders of $65 or more. You can use the coupon code GARLIC24, and the sale will end on the 21st of April, and restrictions do apply. You will see information on the website tomorrow about the sale. And if you're on the mailing list, if you are on their master mailing list, you will get a news blast about the sale with the coupon. So thepowerherbs.com. Now, if you're on the website right now or you're going to go there later, definitely check out the free online newsletters. They are available, too. Just click on books and newsletters, and you can sign up there for free. And you can get empowering information in your email each week. The American Survival goes out on Tuesdays, and the Health Quest goes out on Fridays. So you can sign up tonight and get tomorrow's issue absolutely free. They also have added a very informative blog, so you can check the website. Just go to thepowerherbs.com, and across the top where you see About Us, Wendy's bio, you'll see blog. You'll see blog right next to Herb Talk where the archives are for the radio show. So you can check that out. New information is posted, you know, several times a month, so check that out and be empowered as well. It's all about being smart, being proactive, being aware. ThePowerHerbs.com. Okay, we got a few minutes, and last show I was talking about the behavioral changes that a lot of times vaccines can create in people, and we didn't get to finish, so I'm going to try to finish up a little bit of that topic here. According to Dr. Coulter, we need to be educated on the non-medical talk by scientists and the physicians. For instance, when we're told that just one in 100,000 people will have an adverse severe reaction to a vaccine, they really don't tell you that logically if one person has a severe reaction, that means 100 will have a mild reaction. They kind of leave that information out. So research from Dr. Coulter on vaccines led him to discover that the creation of the vaccines was to introduce the whooping cough toxin into the population. So whooping cough disease, was also known as pertussis, causes a neurological reaction, some damage if you're doing an artificial infection through, you know, an MMR, a DPT shot. So the whooping cough vaccine was introduced in 1933, but due to doubts as to its safety, it was not really promoted heavily worldwide until 1957. And then in 1974, there was some concern that the pertussis vaccine actually caused encephalitis, inflammation of the brain, which it does, and other neurological disorders in children. So there was a high court case in London claiming brain damage occurs with the pertussis vaccine. This was a case in 1987, Loveday versus Renton and Wellcome Foundation. So the National Childhood Encephalopathy Study was considered a case control study on the pertussis vaccine at that time, and it was actually used in the London court case. Interestingly, the main findings of the study were never divulged in print, but were told that the court pressed for a discovery and the results were revealed. So the press reported that the study found that there was no permanent brain damage within 48 hours of being vaccinated based on 2 million vaccinated children in England. Now, the Scotland and Wales 1976 report found that the study manipulated this evidence, and the London court at the time did not rule that the pertussis vaccine was completely safe. They, you know, split the baby. Yeah. Not enough evidence. Well, Dr. Jane Donegan published a book called Vaccine Choice Canada in 2011. And says this, our vaccination program seems to have produced generations of mothers whose poor quality vaccine antibodies are unable to protect their babies from whooping cough. They are concentrating it and dying of it at less than 8 weeks of age. Placental antibodies from natural infections should protect children from the first year of life when they're more vulnerable, particularly if combined with breastfeeding. So our 1 to 4 year olds, without the benefit of natural boosting of their immunity from circulating wild diseases and catching them and having their antibodies work, but instead getting modified vaccine diseases instead, is increasing the numbers of illness. Goes on to say our vaccinated adults are getting chronic coughs from it because they haven't had natural infection in childhood, and the high prevalence of vaccination seems to be causing a drift towards a higher incidence of disease. And all of this without worrying about whether pertussis vaccination also causes an increased incidence in asthma, allergic conditions, ear infections, invasive bacterial infections, or severe and permanent neurological damage. The decision to vaccinate one's child against whooping cough is certainly one that requires careful consideration. End of quote. Yeah, I mean, I've heard from a lot of virologists and over the years, doctor pediatricians that have done their own homework because they didn't get any of this knowledge in medical school. When they do it themselves and they find there is some evidence that the vaccines aren't what we're told they are. Well, yeah. Then they have to make a conscious decision. Do they continue to use them in their practice? Fortunately, I have the honor of knowing some that did not. They quit giving vaccines. All right, so the WHO is on a course really to have all our countries in the globe obtain a 95% higher vaccination rate, and there are other ways to protect against disease, and nutrition is one of them, one of the most important aspects, actually. Those with strong constitutions and immune systems have a higher success rate of overcoming illnesses and making antibodies. Parents who do not wish to vaccinate children or themselves can obtain a physician's warranty of vaccine safety to present to their doctors or their social workers, or even the school system. This document can help avoid some of the legal entanglements. And you can find this document. It's on the internet. Just type in physician's warranty of vaccine safety. So in a nutshell, what this document is, you would take it to your doctor and have them sign it. You know, you fill in your name, the treatment they're recommending you get. Let's say it's the shingles shot, or maybe it's your child and they want you to have, you know, the shot cocktail now that they give the kids. And they're going to be signing off that they absolutely guarantee the shot will not cause any harm whatsoever. Of course, you know, no doctor's going to sign it. They don't feel comfortable signing it because there are adverse events that happen. Anaphylactic shock, respiratory arrest, death. So they can't guarantee that. So if they can't guarantee that, they're less likely to give you a problem. You know, because if they called, let's say, your social workers and say, hey, she won't vaccinate the kid, all you have to say, well, I have fiduciary responsibility as the parent of this child to make sure that all these treatments are absolutely safe and won't cause any harm. And the doctor won't sign this document saying it won't cause harm. So I can't consciously let my kid have it because it could cause harm. So they're less likely to cause trouble for you because how do they get around that argument? Frank, do you have any ideas? How would they get around that? All right, so basically, time and time again, there's a lot of scientists, medical doctors, all these degrees and initials behind their name that have found that organic nutrition and medicinal plants do more for the human body with fighting off infectious disease than anything else. Washing your hands, you know, good hygiene, that kind of thing. Also, Amish kids have better immune systems than the average American kid. And they're on farms. They don't get vaccines. They're totally healthy. Mm-hmm. No autism, by the way. Oh, I'm out of time. So we're going to be taking a break. When we come back, more empowering information. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
007, your assignment is to find out what herb secrets herbalist Wendy Wilson has on Herb Talk Live.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Thank you, Frank. Taking me back there with Huey Lewis. Appreciate the bouncy music. You're great. Frank's one of the best engineers in the world. You know that? Audience, he is. He's on the board. He has it taken care of. All right, we're going to be talking about a little bit of propaganda in medicine. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Some of the research in your medical journals are now citing some articles by physicians on the subject of propaganda in medicine. Well, the word propaganda means based on misleading information to promote an agenda, and so I thought we'd check this out. Kind of unusual to see something like that in medical journals, but this is the British Medical Journal. This popped up in 1999, and they reported, the title of their article was Rapid Response Propaganda-Based Medicine. So it was kind of a brief report, as journal articles do go, but it did discuss alternatives to, quote, evidence-based medicine. So now why would a medical journal publish this thing? Well, were they kind of mocking the topic was my question, but here is what they listed. They said, skillfully depicted the conscious mind and the decision-making processes, which are adapted in actual practice. A physician has a limited amount of time for scientific training, and he can find himself in unmentionable circumstances and may fall prey to the pharmaceutical representatives who possess the strategies for physical changing behaviors. They go on to say, in clinical practice, there are two types of propaganda-based medicine, gullibility and unexplainable variation in drug reactions. I'm like, what? So this kind of publishing kind of makes you wonder how scientific science really is. So if this was supposed to be a joke, well, I don't think it was very amusing. So The Lancet also listed an article by Dr. Harley Williams published in February 1931, and that title was Propaganda and Medicine. So it seems to be a restricted article. You won't have access to it unless you pay a subscription fee. So it's been out there, okay? I don't know. So the National Library of Medicine, this is March 1958. They had a correspondence piece that was titled, The Side Effects of Medical Propaganda. Okay. You know, once you may think it's, you know, kind of like an isolated thing. Twice, I don't know. And three times, though. Three times. Propaganda titles. Okay. So it was written by Dr. William Modell of London, UK. He mentions the psychiatric angle within medicine using harmful anxiety to control patients and influence their decisions. He lists the tactics, fear, threats, and effects of suggestion. Now, Dr. Moodle states, these tactics increase the suffering of those prone to neurotics, and it's a policy that is unwise, he says, even if it is effective. Allowing patients to calmly discuss the facts with their family physician would be the best instead of issuing frightening warnings without patients having the advantage of objective discussions. Yeah, or the time to go check it out, you know. The internet's very handy these days. You can kind of dig stuff up or go to the bookstore or the library. William Modell says this, quote, physicians have a high sense of public responsibility to use television shows promoting medicine, which can inflict tremendous power for good or evil in matters of medicine. It appears to me that with experimental and new therapies, doctors will present the treatment as being televised on TV or a radio show to give it more positive light and credibility when it's really a risky therapy. He goes on to say this increases the chance that a frightened patient will agree to a treatment. Yeah, well, if you say, hey, it was on this medical show, so it's got to be good, right? I'd be very suspicious if a doctor said that to me. The doctor goes on to say, television dramatizes disease rather than preventing it. This is a concern, he says. In fact, most medical professionals spend most of their time with disease processes and not in maintaining good health practices. So diseases are what patients mostly go to doctors complaining about and wanting help for. Television shows made electric shock treatments for depression very popular. Medical TV shows give the viewers confidence that medicine has methods to cure. Yeah. Well, okay, and on top of that, Doc, we've got, you know, the Law and Order shows that make us think, you know, the legislative areas are okay, too. So what Dr. Modell is highlighting is symptom management with drugs and other therapies are not a cure, but is supposed to help patients manage their disease and, you know, make you forget it's not a cure. It's going to lessen your symptoms, be happy with that. Well, there needs to be some reform. Well, what are the chances of us getting that? You know, some may say that new policies need to be put in place to reform the medical system and improve the ethics within science. Now, in December 1922, the Journal of the American Medical Association published a report titled The Propaganda of Reform in Proprietary Medicine. This essentially was the culmination of 9 editions of recorded data, including prior to 1917. So seeking the Council on Pharmacy and Chemistry and the Chemical Laboratory to create from fraudulent activities to cease and desist, this is where it all started, based on how the government agencies like the FDA and the pharmaceutical companies operated then compared to today. Think about it today. I'd say the reform failed. What do you think, Frank? I would say it failed miserably. No reform. None. 100 years later, it appears that the question of propaganda in medicine is not a new problem, and medicine seems to have struggled with it over 100 years. So, what do physicians today say about this problem? Well, according to Dr. Farah Augustine and Dr. Jason Fung, they say the medical propaganda has led to the end of evidence-based medicine. Amen to that. That's what I agree with. Yes. They go on to say this would verify that the British Medical Journal that was published in 1999, we are at risk of gullibility and unexplainable variation of drug reactions. Absolutely. Here is a quote from Dr. Fung. He says, the idea of evidence-based medicine makes controversial medicine highly credible and trustworthy. Now it is a thing of the past. I say this because the clinical trial research that is published in medical journals is the proprietary ownership of the pharmaceutical companies, and he goes on to say it is the research that is manipulated and paid for by the drug companies, and it negates the reason for peer-review drug trials. I'm in it. So he got that right. He nailed that. So you got a lot of clinical corruption, and this is hurting patients, you know, and doctors, they're kind of in the middle. They're supposed to sell the therapy. They didn't do this research. They didn't write the journal articles. They're just going by what their drug reps tell them. A lot of them read medical journals, but a lot of them today, I will say, a lot of physicians today don't know if they can trust the journals. They don't know if the information in there, you know, they don't know if they can use that information in their treatment plans. What Dr. Farah Augustine and Dr. Fong were saying is there's a huge problem. It's rampant in scientific research, and it's producing the next generation of drugs, the next generation of medical devices, and the next generation of vaccines. Now, to support their position, they cited some statements from the medical journal editors. Here is Dr. Marcia Angle. She's a former editor of the New England Journal of Medicine. She wrote this in 2009. She said, it is simply no longer possible to believe much of the clinical research that is published or to rely on the judgment of trusted physicians or authorities of the medical practice and guidelines. I take no pleasure in this conclusion, which I reach slowly and reluctantly over my 2 decades as an editor. End of quote. Dr. Reelman, he's a former editor of the New England Journal of Medicine. He wrote this in 2002. The medical profession is being bought by the pharmaceutical industry, not only in terms of the practice of medicine, but also in terms of teaching and research. The academic institutions of this country are allowing themselves to be paid agents for the pharmaceutical industry, and I think it's disgraceful. End of quote. Well, yeah, they publish and pay for the medical textbooks that your up-and-coming doctors are learning from. They control the information doctors are getting for treatments. They're taught to prescribe, folks. Okay?
As one of my neighbors would often say, she looks at doctors as legalized drug pushers. And I'm like, okay. So this is very concerning. You know, what we grow up thinking was, you know, unbiased evidence. You know, we grow up a lot of, you know, Marcus Welby, MD, and all this stuff. And you know, and TV can, you know, produce propaganda and can brainwash you. So we have come down to it. Propaganda, what it is lying. Okay? Half-truths. Half-truth is still a whole lie. Benjamin Franklin said that. Half the truth. So, I think I've given you this example before. Took a family member to the doctor. They were getting allergy shots. Allergy shots for, you know, environmental issues, you know, pollen, trees, you know, things. So I'm in the waiting room. I'm reading this pamphlet. This is a dermatologist doctor. And I'm reading the pamphlet on allergy shots. It's for you to read, information. So I read this thing. And at the very end of it says, after you get your allergy shot, you have to remain at the doctor's office for a minimum of 20 to 30 minutes just in case you have an allergic reaction. It doesn't say anything else. Well, my brain says, well, what kind of allergic reaction? So when the doctor was finished with the visit, I asked him, I said, well, what kind of allergic reaction are they talking about here? And I said, are we talking about a rash, you know, welts, you know? And he goes, rash, we're not worried about a rash. He says, we're worried about anaphylactic shock and respiratory arrest. So now my brain said, okay, so these are tailored-made serums. Your allergy shots are tailored to you because they take a sample of your blood and make them tailored to you. And if this is a shot that's tailored for you and you can die, imagine what the off-the-shelf flu shot can do. Not tailored to you. I totally couldn't believe he said that to me. I was, what? Here is Joseph Goebbels. He says, if you tell a lie big enough and long enough, people will eventually come to believe it. Mm-hmm. Dr. Farah Augustine and Dr. Fong also make some good points that for lies to be successful, the truth has to be suppressed. And that's what we see a lot, you know, with regard to natural therapies helping you. Here is a quote from Joseph Goebbels. He says, before promoting the big lie, one must use all of their power to repress any dissenting voices, no matter how right or reasonable that voice is, for the truth is the moral enemy of the lie. End of quote. Isn't that the truth? Well, steps of corruption. Well, the breadcrumb trail of corruption within your healthcare industry shows how it all happened. First, they had selective publications. Negative trial results are not published, and the data is manipulated to show positive results. Then they rigged the outcomes in these journal articles. They picked the best outcome before the research begins, and they don't let evidence show the results. So if they pick something, let's say they have a hypothesis and the hypothesis is proven wrong, they can't accept the wrong, so they have to manipulate and pick another outcome so their hypothesis becomes right. Advertorials, the journal research articles are really ads for the drug companies selling the treatment therapy for that particular study. Money from reprints. Also, journals make money from drug companies, and when studies are cited with new research, there is a big payment. So the more doctors see it, the more they believe it. Reprint, reprint, reprint. Also, bribery of the journal editors is happening. They are listed as research payments by the drug companies, and that is all unregulated, by the way, and this could account for 50% of your editor's income. And also bias and conflicts of interest. Physicians and researchers involved in the clinical trials have
ties usually to the drug companies. And so now I think there was some sort of, you know, ethics thing going on. And then now they have to, if they have some sort of tie to the drug companies or to the funding for this research, they have to divulge that. And the journal article has to print it at the very end. So just like politicians and the legal system, there is corruption within the halls of medical science that is more damaging because it touches people's lives in the worst way. You are trusting the treatment. You're trusting the doctor. And you pay for this treatment. And it often is harmful or has no benefit. That's like giving you a shovel to dig your own grave kind of thing. It's really despicable. That's how I see it, and I'm just going to say that. But we have propaganda in healthcare. It's hard to really accept that, you know, you've got a really lovely medical doctor you're seeing, that they are propagandized, they're brainwashed, and they're giving you the wrong information with regard to what to do. All right. I'm not saying that's all the time. You know, I'm just saying we're seeing it more often than not. Okay, so we're also going to talk about some scientific evidence on your polio vaccine. Okay, so we've heard some reports from physicians in the United States and in Canada that certain vaccines that contain pathogens that are not from nature, which are causing a lot of disease outbreaks. So we have a new study that did say polio vaccine has some serious issues with it. And it was a study report, and it described the vaccine as dangerous. So the FDA doesn't test anything. They go on the reports by the research and the drug companies. And so the drug companies are publishing and submitting fraudulent documents to the FDA for approval. This is where this can happen. This is Michigan University study. The media did saturate us with a lot of reports about vaccines and how safe they are, and they eradicate major childhood diseases and this and that. But polio is one of the vaccines that are said to have supposedly saved countless lives from paralysis and death. However, why are vaccinated children coming down with polio causing outbreaks of the disease is another question. So all good questions that the researchers at Michigan Medicine at the University of Michigan set out to answer. And the scientists that felt that surely there would be some reasonable explanation for this, well, they discovered something they didn't expect. So we have been told that there have been two versions of the polio vaccines. There's the dead pathogen version developed by Jonas Salk in 1955, which is supposedly a weakened, or they call it attenuated type of version of the vaccine. And then also the live version developed by Albert Sabin in the 1960s. So the Michigan University Medicine researchers did what is called a genetic study. This was in November 2020. And what they discovered is the polio vaccine itself was causing polio to occur. So in developing areas of the world, the live version of the vaccine was being used. And one version that we were told that was used is because the vaccine is an oral dose and does not require refrigeration. So what doctors and the media do not tell the masses is that the live form of the virus is prone to evolve or mutate into more infectious or virulent forms of the pathogen. So this is causing the outbreaks, they say. So what science is seeing is delayed outbreaks several weeks or months after a vaccine has been given. Here is a quote from Adam Loring, medical doctor, Department of Microbiology and Immunology, University of Michigan. He says, what our study proved is we could watch the polio pathogen evolve into some more dangerous form in real time. Most of the outbreaks of type 2 polio virus were caused by the vaccine. End of quote. However, it's not like, you know, medical science has been blindsided by this news. A previous study in Bangladesh, assisted by the University of Virginia, showed in stool samples that the children being infected with the polio after the vaccination, they were all infected with polio. So Dr. Loring used their study and their stool samples that were collected weekly to see how the polio virus was actually evolving. That's how he figured it out. He goes on to say, there is a lot of work to be done to understand how a live but weakened virus went back to being a virulent strain again. What we do not know is what the virus is doing in the first few weeks of months after the vaccine is given. Well, if you don't know, why are you using it? They just don't know. You know, that's the other thing. You know, we have been brainwashed that medicine knows everything. They know. No, they don't. No, they don't. So Dr. Loring and his team did see some critical mutations take place, and to their surprise, they were previously investigated. They thought, well, okay, if this happened before, why wasn't it stopped? Another team of researchers had noted that the poliovirus became virulent again. So what Dr. Loring's team were able to identify was the rate of the mutation from 1 to 2 weeks. That's how long it took. And they also saw that the mutation occurs very quickly inside the host and much faster than other viruses, and also would occur in the lab. Now, you got to know, they knew when they were making this stuff. They knew this. So the report also stated that the researchers did not believe that this more dangerous poliovirus was all that contagious. Really? However, the natural form of polio is contagious and does not spread through a person-to-person contact, and the virus lives in the person's throat and intestines. So these outbreaks would have been evident that the vaccine that was debuted in the 60s but did not occur as all this didn't occur, as, you know, it didn't mutate. It stayed within the person's body, and it didn't infect others. So we have to ask, what changed the virus? What changed this vaccine to make it more dangerous? What did they do? They made a new version, is what they did. University of Michigan, Dr. Loring says, this work will inform for better ways that we should not tinker with a vaccine to maintain its use because it is a very effective vaccine. So he's saying it got changed. They genetically modified the pathogen, and it made it more virulent, and everybody got sick from it. When normally people didn't get sick, it didn't, you weren't contagious like that. It made you contagious. So people would get sick. Oh man, I tell you, this hour has just flown by and I am just about out of time. So I'm going to stop here and maybe pick this up on next week's show. Remind me, Frank, if I forget. And don't forget, go to thepowerherbs.com, sign up for the free online newsletters under the Books and Newsletters tab, check out the blog, get a free catalog, be empowered, get informed. You're not going to hear any of this stuff on mainstream. No, because, unfortunately, corruption on the elective news channels there. So thepowerherbs.com, give a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And tomorrow they are celebrating garlic, and it's 20% off on all the orders. So check that out. That sale will last until, what is it, the 21st? Yeah, the 21st of April. So you got about a week, and stock up on your allergy, your cleansing, your immune support, your pandemic kits, all that stuff. So get what you need, because if you don't need it and you got it, not a problem. But if you don't have it and you need it, well, that's a problem. The Power Herbs, 866-229-3663. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Please seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician if you dare before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.